today as we come to the table.
Now we come to the last portion, and that is how we're to be living today in light of this information. Notice what he says. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? In other words, if you want to be faithful to the Lord and you want to be given responsibility to rule over his people, he said, this is what you need to do. And by the way, God is looking for those that are doing that right now. Notice verse 46, blessed is that servant whom when his master comes will find him so doing. That is, you're being faithful to do what your master called you to do, and you're giving to people their food in due season. That is, you're doing ministry. You're meeting the needs of the people.
Pastor Mark has been talking about the end times in the last few messages, and today he's going to show you what your response needs to be. God shared with us his plans for the end times and for eternity so that you and I could be ready for it. He gave you a gigantic heads up with one purpose, so that you have a chance to say yes to his son. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. Once you've made that important step, he's got a job for you to do. He wants you to be engaging in the world, serving others, and sharing his love. How are you doing that? If you need a little help and motivation, you're in the right place. Today's message will light a fire in you. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Matthew, chapter 24, as he continues his message, Watch and Be Ready.
In the last days, it says it'll be like the days of Noah. I believe the reason that Satan tried to mess up man's DNA was because, you know, Satan said this, I'm going to be like God. You've created man in your image. I'm going to recreate him in mine. And Satan was a fallen angel. And so I think there was some type of tampering there, very possibly, that his goal was is to be like God, to rewrite man's DNA. It's interesting, when you study DNA, it's made up in segments of three. It's broken up in segments of three words, if you will. I'd call them words, is the best way I know to describe it, which is interesting because the Bible says that God is, you know, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We're made in his image, body, soul, spirit. And you look at our DNA, the strand of DNA that makes up who we are, it's God's word that he spoke us into existence. And when he spoke us into existence by our DNA, he did it in segments of three. Isn't that interesting? Again, the whole Trinity picture there is really intriguing to me. And it might be Satan, knowing that, said, well, you know, you wrote man's software. I'm going to rewrite it. I don't know. We'll never know until heaven, but I find that very intriguing with the interference of the angels and what appear to be the result of that was. Could he try something like that in the last days? We don't know. The Bible doesn't say that, but the Bible does say that it's going to be like the days of Noah. So I think we're going to be entering into some very, very interesting days regardless of what happens. And so he says it's going to be like the days of Noah when this takes place once again. That's the bad side of it. But notice this. There's another reason that I don't believe we're going to be here for the great tribulation. Look at verse 38. He says, for in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day. Now that's, notice, a specific day. That's important. The day that Noah entered the ark. That is the beginning where God removed Noah from the judgment, if you will. And the world didn't know until the flood came and took them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man be. Notice this. There was a specific day that God pulled Noah out of the picture and the righteous out of the picture, his family, so he could begin now to do the judgment of God. I find it interesting he did it 7 days before his wrath began to fall in rain. I find it interesting that he lifted up the righteous up off of the earth during the wrath of God. I find it interesting that after the wrath of God was done, he brought the righteous back down to the earth and they started brand new on a new earth that had been wiped clean and starting over. Sounds a little bit to me like the rapture, the wedding supper of the Lamb, and the return of Jesus Christ at the second coming after a 7-year wedding feast. Maybe that's just me. But either way, again, it says, and notice here during this time that they disappear, it says that during this, they're going to be drinking and marrying, giving in marriage until that day, I should say. Now, If this was something where, again, God had already begun that wrath, I don't think anybody would be marrying. He's talking about the days we're living in. And in the Great Tribulation, it's not going to be normal. This shows there's a sense of normalcy. As crazy as the world is today, this shows there is a sense of normalcy until we're taken out of here. Once the Great Tribulation begins, guys, all normalcy's out the window. The world comes under the authority of one world ruler under the power of Satan. And he will be ruling, the Bible says, for 7 years, where God will be at that time pouring out his wrath on the earth. 1 Thessalonians 5:9, we've not been appointed to wrath. And so this whole thing that's going to be happening here, I don't think that's going to be a normal day. Look, if meteorites are striking the ocean and turning it to blood, striking the land, most of the earth is on fire at that time, earthquakes, all these cataclysmic things taking place, I don't think somebody's like, hey, honey, you want to get married? Why don't we just make this thing legitimate, right, or whatever. I don't mean to be too lighthearted about it, but whatever he's talking about here is going to be very normal. It sounds to me like it's going to be something before all that begins. And then there's going to be the day that the ark door is closed and we're lifted up off the earth while God's wrath takes place. And then we come back with Jesus Christ, even as Noah and the family of Noah in that day. And so notice this. It says again, verse 39, and they did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So will the coming of the Son of Man. Look at verse 40. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore. Here's that whole watching again. Now again, I believe the Lord's referring here to the rapture of the church. Suddenly people just disappearing. One's here, one's gone. One's here, one's gone. Just to be fair, there is another school of thought out there. And some guys that I think are great teachers. I just disagree with them. They say that what this is God grabbing the unrighteous and taking them away for judgment. The problem I have with that is not only the context of the last days, but also there's no other place in Scripture where God does that. There's no place that God says he just goes and just gets the unrighteous and takes them away to judgment. As a matter of fact, the judgments that we see in Scripture, the great white throne judgment at the very end, everybody's gathered before the Lord, and the sheep and the goats judgment, which begins at the beginning of the 1,000-year reign, which we'll see as we get into chapter 25, he gets the righteous and the unrighteous together. He sends his angels out, and they gather all of them to stand before the Lord, not just part of them. So there's no picture or example anywhere in Scripture where God simply comes and gets the unrighteous to judge them. It's not in the Bible. So I have to personally reject that viewpoint. And I believe this here, the Lord is talking about the rapture of the church. And he's noticed again, it's a surprise event. He says, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. Now, this is very interesting. This is where I believe, for me, there really is no other option but a pre-tribulation rapture. Let me tell you why. Daniel, which we'll get into after we get out of the book of Matthew, Daniel tells us that when this world leader comes on the scene for this final 7 years of the earth, he's going to make a treaty with the nation of Israel. And when he signs the treaty with the nation of Israel, it will be exactly 2,520 days until the second coming. It will be exactly 1,260 days until the middle of that 7 years. It also tells us that the Antichrist is going to set up an image of himself in the Temple Mount, and it will be 1,290 days until the second coming after that. So God gives us very specific and exact days, which means this: if anybody is in this room anytime after that signing of that treaty, everybody in here can defy the words of Christ. Everybody. He said no one would know the day and the hour. Every one of you would know the day and the hour, and you could mark it off on your calendar waiting on it to get there. And since I don't believe it's possible to defy the words of the Lord, I think it is biblically impossible to be anything else other than a pre-tribulation rapture. And here's the thing to realize too, okay, there are going to be some people that get saved after the rapture. Won't they be able to know that the day, if it's mid-trib, or the day, if it's the very end? They could count 1,260 days. They could count 2,520. Yes, they could. But here's the thing. That shows us there are two different events he's talking about. One of them is the second coming, and one of them is the rapture of the church. The second coming will be known. You'll be able to count the day down to the second coming. But there's going to be some other event that we do not know, and that's the one we're watching for. That's why we have to be watching. Now we have to be ready. The problem is, if we are here after this Antichrist is revealed, if we are here after the very beginning of the Antichrist coming on the scene, then we'll know both. We'll know both the options for the second, we'll know the only option for second coming for sure, and we'll know the two options for the rapture, which still means we could defy the words of the Lord and pick the exact day, which Jesus said no one would be able to do. And so because of this and the exactness of Scripture and the exact days that the Lord shows us when all this is going to be happening, that's why I believe there's nothing else possible but a pre-tribulation rapture. And again, by the way, if you know that it's going to be mid-trib or you know it's going to be at the end, what are you watching for? There's nothing to watch for. It's just ready. Bottom line. And so he says, know this, again, if the master had known, he would have watched and not allowed his house. If he'd known it was going to be the mid-trib or the end, could have counted the days down, but you don't know, so you better be watching. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect, not a day that you can count down to. And so now he gives the atmosphere of the world that'll be happening at that time, in addition to the sign of Israel back in the land. Now we come to the last portion, and that is how we're to be living today in light of this information. Notice what he says. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? In other words, if you want to be faithful to the Lord and you want to be given responsibility to rule over his people, he said, this is what you need to do. And by the way, God is looking for those that are doing that right now. Notice verse 46, blessed is that servant whom when his master comes will find him so doing. That is, you're being faithful to do what your master called you to do, and you're giving to people their food in due season. That is, you're doing ministry. You're meeting the needs of the people. And he says, I want you to watch because you don't know when I'm coming. I want you to be ready, and I want to see that you're doing ministry as I've told you to do. And he said, if you do that, I'm going to give you a special blessing. Those of you that are watching, you're going to get to rule over everything I have when the kingdom comes. That means that not everybody in the kingdom will be able to do that. This is specifically for those who are watching. See, every believer is going to go. Whatever it happens, every believer is going to go. But he makes it specific, only those that are watching for this sudden surprise exit. He said, they're going to be the ones that rule over the kingdom. They're going to be the ones that are going to know what's going on. And they're going to be the ones I'm going to give that authority to. Listen, I want to be in that group. And I know you want to be in that group too. And of course, again, getting in the kingdom is wonderful. But having this promise here is even more wonderful, as the Lord says here. And let me just say this. Again, if you don't know what God's called to do, but Mark, I don't know what God's called me to do. Do something and God will show you. When I got called into the ministry, I didn't know what I was called to do. I had no idea. I spent years serving God before I knew what I was called to do. In other words, I just went and started serving. I just showed up and what do you need? And I just started serving. I got involved. And then as I got involved, God began to steer me into the direction that he wanted me to be. And God led me and showed me that I was going to be a pastor of a church. That's how it works. I think a lot of us oftentimes will just sit in the car and kind of wait for God to say, well, where are we supposed to go? You know, my heavenly GPS is not working. I haven't heard anything. Here's what God would say to you today, if that's you. Just start the engine first. Start the engine. Do something and just start going. And as you do, I'll make your GPS work. I'll give you directions. Now, let me also give the other side of that. Some of you are in a season that you can't serve in what you think of as an official serving capacity. And so right now you're feeling guilty. I can't serve. We don't... Whatever. You know, I just had someone speak to me earlier. Right now, they're taking care of their husband because he's not well. They have to do that just round the clock. And they're like, but I'm not serving. And the Lord's going to be looking for those that are serving when he comes back. No, God knows that. There are seasons. I think about the moms at home, and they've got to take care of these little ones. You don't think you're serving God, taking care of those little ones? Absolutely. You're raising up the next generation. She doesn't think she's serving her husband? Absolutely. You're doing what God called you to do. So don't think because you're not doing an official ministry at the church, you're not serving. What I'm saying is, make sure that you are serving in something. And there are seasons where you're not going to be able to serve in the normal thought out serving way. It doesn't mean that God's going to not give you this reward. It's your heart. It's your lifestyle. It's what you've been doing as a life in the Lord that's going to matter. And so understand that. And here he says, blessed will be the one when he comes, finds so doing. He says, assuredly I say to you, he will make him ruler over all of his goods. Now, notice what he says here, and this is where it gets kind of intense, and I want to give this balance and present this the proper way because I don't want you to misunderstand me. But look at verse 48 on from here. He says, but if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming and begins to beat his fellow servants and eat and drink with drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he's not looking for him and at an hour that he's not aware of and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, this is intriguing here because he's talking about a servant in his household who is a wicked servant. Now, Is it just an analogy because he's wicked? Or is he talking about the servant that's not being wise? I don't know. Here's what I do know. I do not believe he's saying, and again, he makes the point, notice this, he says, what makes this servant wrong is the fact he's saying his master is delaying his coming. Now, that doesn't mean that if you believe in the mid-trib or the post-trib that your pastor is telling you today that you're a wicked servant. I want to make that clear to everybody right now, because he identifies the wicked servant. He says the wicked servant is the drunk. The wicked servant is the person beating their fellow servants. The wicked servant is the one being wicked and being evil. So understand that. No one's accusing you if you don't believe in the pre-trib rapture of being a wicked servant. I want to first make that very clear. But I will say this. He does say that we're not to have any position that would make us say he's delaying his coming if we're going to be a proper servant in his household. Let me ask you this. Is it possible to hold a mid-trib position and not say the Lord is delaying his coming? Can't do it. Is it possible to hold a post-trib situation and say the Lord's not delaying his coming? It's impossible. Look, even from today, if you take the mid-trib position, you know it's at least going to be 3.5 years. That you're saying, in essence, he's delaying his coming. If you think it's post-trib, you're saying he's delaying his coming. I don't want to be in any theological position that would put me in a camp that says the Lord is delaying his coming and can't come at any moment, because he told me over and over and over, watch and be ready, you're not going to know it, and it's going to be like a thief. And so if this challenges your theology, good. If you don't agree, that's fine. We're all going to be in the kingdom of God. But this puts a level of seriousness in me that goes, oh my goodness. And notice, and I don't know what this means here when he says, notice this, he's coming at an hour you're not aware of, and he will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. That's a little scary. There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That is, there'll be those that'll be sad, and there'll be those that'll be mad because they didn't understand God's word or appropriately apply it. And I'm not saying this means that somehow believers are not going to get to go when the rapture comes either. I don't fully understand everything the Lord is saying here. But here's what I do understand and what I want to finish with today. I know this for sure. The Lord said, be ready. The Lord said it's going to be a surprise that no one will know. The Lord gave us the exact number of days to mid-trib and post-trib, so I have to count that out. And the Lord said, either way, make sure that you're not taking any theological position that says that the Lord can delay his coming. Those are the warnings I can say. The rest of it I don't fully understand, but that's enough to make me get very serious very quickly about the passage. And depending on where you stand, it's not simply to go back. And I want you guys to know something. I have no personal desire to win an argument. I've been in ministry too long for that. You know, when I was a young pastor, I wanted to prove my point. Here, and let me show you this. And look over here. Come here. Look here. I had to win. At this age, I don't care about winning anymore. Here's what I care about. I care about doing the best I can with what I see in Scripture and getting you blessed the most you can be blessed. That's truly what I care about. That's something God does, I think, in the heart of all believers as they get older. That's just what happens. So I don't look, if there's something that is I'm missing, then that's fine. But here's the thing. If I'm missing something and there really is going to be a delay that's after the very beginning, then it doesn't really hurt anybody. It just was, that wasn't correct. But if I am correct and there is a warning about making sure you're not looking for the Lord to delay his coming, then there is a warning here from the Lord. So we need to decide to really evaluate this. We need to pray about it. We need to look at it. We need to think it through. We need to pray it through. And I'll tell you this, as I said, it's not about winning an argument. It's about this. I don't want you to live in fear or anxiety. And if the Lord said that I can bring you comfort today about the trumpet blast and getting out of here, if the Lord said that pray that you'll escape all these things that are coming upon the earth, and I can offer that to you, and that all comes from the Bible, that's my heart. I don't want you to live in fear. I don't want you to live in anxiety. I want you to live in joy. I want you to live in understanding, and I want you to be stretched and to search these things to see if they're so. By the way, don't just believe me. The Bible warns against that. Acts 17:11 says, Paul said, look, the Bereans were more noble-minded than the Thessalonians because they didn't just believe what I said. They searched the Scriptures to see if these things were so. My job is to pour out the Word of God in you. Your job is to go home and say, is he right or is he wrong? But from my standpoint, I've laid out what I believe leaves no other option for where I stand. That doesn't matter salvation-wise. It only matters, I think, in hope in the last days. And I want no one to steal your hope and your joy. The Lord could come at any moment. He could come right now. Here's the question. Are you ready? Are you really ready? Are you prepared? Or are you still so focused on this world and what you're trying to get done and what you're trying to do? Maybe you're not even looking because you think, well, I've got at least 3.5 more years. Or I've got at least 7 more years, so everybody calm down. He said, he's coming like a thief. You're going to go home and suddenly everything's gone. You're going, I can't believe. And those of you in here that have been robbed, you know that feeling. You go home and suddenly your stuff's gone and there was no warning. There was no countdown. It's just gone. There's going to come a day when all of a sudden the Lord's going to call his church and we're going to be gone. And there's going to be people standing around going, what happened? We need to make sure they know that. And we need to make sure we're ready. So let's pray that we are. Father, I do want to pray as we finish today that we are ready. God, that we are watching, that we are prepared, Lord, for your sudden return that could come at any moment like a thief in the night. Lord, let us not be those that are saying the Lord is delaying his coming, but let us be those that are saying, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we're watching any moment for you to return. And then we, Lord, get to go to the wedding supper of the Lamb, have a glorious meal with you, Lord, and come back. And for those who were watching and were ready, rule and reign with you for 1,000 years on this earth. Lord, what a glorious future that we have. I pray if there's anybody here today, Lord, that's not ready, they're not ready, that right now they would get ready. And that might mean someone who's never even met you and you're convicting them right now. They need to confess their sin to you and turn to the cross. And right now, if that's you, confess your sin to the Lord. Ask him to forgive you. And run to the cross. Tell him you believe he died for you and that his blood washes your sin away. If you repent and do that, turn from your sin and believe in him, the Bible says you'll be saved. And God, there are probably some in here this morning that maybe you're shaking a little bit. Maybe they're saying, I don't know that I am really ready. God, I pray that you, in their heart right now as they pray, that they would be prepared and be ready for when you do suddenly show up. And God, for others that may just might be struggling with what are the other things they're struggling with this morning, that they would make sure it's dealt with before they walk out of these doors. But Lord, thank you that we do have something to look forward to. We know, God, that you're going to come and get your bride. And what a glorious day that's going to be. Lord, even as there had never been rain or a flood in the days of Noah, something new was happening that had never happened in world history. Once again, we come to a time of world history where something's about to happen that's never happened in world history, where you literally grabbed millions of people at one time and lifted them off of the earth like you did Noah and his family in the ark, while you judged the earth beneath them and then brought them back to live on a new, cleansed and renewed earth. But Lord, I just thank you, God, for the promise we have of that. And thank you again for the work of your Spirit. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for joining us as we come to the table of God's Word with Pastor Mark Kirk. In this series, Pastor Mark is teaching from the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44 says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then, in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." Do you remember the day you discovered the kingdom of heaven when Jesus first called your name? Just like the disciples who dropped everything to follow him, you were ready right then to give up everything else in your life to be with Jesus. As Pastor Mark goes through Matthew in this series, think back to that first love and let the flame be rekindled. Put yourself into the story and drop your nets to follow the teacher who performs miracles, and then sit at his feet and learn how to love. We're so glad you've decided to join us for this series. There's nothing greater than spending time together at the feet of our Lord. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry out of Calvary, Knoxville. If you're in the Knoxville, Tennessee area, we'd love to see you in person. We have services on Saturday at 6 p.m., Sunday at 9:30 and 11:15 a.m., and Wednesday nights at 7. You can find our location at calvaryknoxville.org. And if you can't make it in person, you can find all sorts of messages available at thewaymedia.net or just download the Way Media app. Well, we've come to the end of our time together for today, but Pastor Mark has much more to share as we go through the book of Matthew. So make sure to join us the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.